Lower your expectations. Season 3, it's a hockey podcast from Lance, Coach, and Randall.
Hello, and welcome to episode 16 of the Youth Hockey Podcast. Randy, is 16 your favorite number?
It is mine now, baby, because I now that I've heard you introduce the podcast, I am so up for this one. 16 candles. Raleigh, your thoughts?
Hexadecimal.
That's very nice. Very nice.
It's big.
I was thinking Molly Ringwald, but go ahead.
Come on, mine, Marcel Dion, my favorite hockey player of all time, number 16.
And could you talk about him for like hours and hours and how he was a great captain who was had syphilis and went on to the high seas.
Exaggerate.
Well, he didn't have diabetes, I don't think.
No, I hope not.
But hey, raised in the slaughterhouses of
East Kentucky.
Marcel Dion was a great player who toiled for a terrible Kings team for years. So you got to respect people like that. Him and Rogie Vachon made the Kings respectable in many years when they just really didn't have any players.
Lance, is that how you feel? Like you're toiling with not much, not many resources around you at the Youth Hockey Podcast?
No comment. How's that? But hey, Randy and Dave, I did want to clarify for those that maybe are new to the podcast. I did want to clarify that again, the coach and I have been taking over the introduction services because Randy is still on strike, demanding more money. But Randy, I got good news for you. Dave and I talked before the podcast and we decided to take your current hosting salary and we're going to add 3 zeros to the end of that.
Oh, you are so good to me.
Aren't I?
I just want to hear your voice too. I remember there was some show that we got to the end of, and I was like, we need more Lance. So Lance, just take over this. Just take over this broadcast. Be yourself.
You know what? By the way, I don't know the last time I've ever heard my wife say that to me though.
Aw,
I need more Lance.
I don't believe that. You know, Kathy is his wife, the sweetest lady. Listeners, if you ever see a woman in public and she's the sweetest thing you've ever seen, just the nicest, kindest thing, that's Kathy Alexander. You can just go up and introduce yourself. You'll say, hi, you must be Kathy Alexander, because that's what you will see if you ever meet Lance's lovely wife.
And if you have a cat, she'll talk to you endlessly.
Yeah, she loves the cats.
So, well, let's get started. Dave has some news for us, I guess, right, Dave? I don't even know what it is.
Well, I think you know, because we did talk about this, but, you know, I'm just going to do a little what the kids like to call a humble brag here. No big deal. We are actually have broken into the top 100 hockey podcasts in the United States. That is, we got, I think we're like 97th most popular hockey podcast in the United States. And in Canada, 103.
The people have spoken.
It's just amazing because, I mean, look, you got to figure there's one or two podcasts for every NHL team. And
correct.
And you know, this is just the topic of hockey. So you know, all I can say is this just shows a lot of people interested in youth hockey, excited about youth hockey, living the dream, and so I guess we got to thank those people for continuing to listen to us for whatever reason they have.
Exactly.
And, we'll keep cranking these out. So a nice little milestone there. I had to remark upon it.
Don't forget,
we are 17th in South Korea. I know we've dropped a little, but I still feel like the South Koreans love us. And I do want to tell you the fifth best. I found this on the year end. The country that likes us fifth most. Did you see that in the slideshow that we got at the end of the year?
I didn't see it.
I'm sure I did, but I don't remember.
Hungary.
Wow. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. No, right. I got to the end and I was like, Hungary listens to us. So people out in Hungary, thank you for listening. We'll try to keep you entertained. I'm guessing in
it's like one guy who gets his Wi-Fi 10, on the border of Hungary.
Maybe 10. Come on, give him a break. Do not put down Hungary. We love you too much. Anyway.
So, hey, Randy, before you get into your topic, should we give a shout out to our listener who wrote an email? I read it. I enjoyed his email. I thought it was a lot of tongue in cheek.
You're going to throw Raleigh under the bus, aren't you? I wasn't going to do this, but go ahead.
I did not read it, but I got the gist of it. So, you know,
it was all in good spirited fun, Randy. He said, Coach, that we misspoke about. What did we say? It was assistant captain, but it's really alternate captain. And the A on the chest. And as a matter of fact, I looked it up and the internet did say it means alternate captain. So,
well, you know, also, and this
and
is
the
something
internet
that
is, of course, always right.
Oh, right. And there's also something that you don't know. They started, they every year they in the stats line, they give you the goals and the alternates and the power play goals. And the shorthanded goals, and of course, you know, second alternate, first alternate.
I didn't know that.
Are you trying to say that that somehow assistant and assist?
Assist, yeah, thing? No, exactly right. Yeah, I was just trying to pull that out, but it didn't work.
It's getting tedious.
Yeah, no, well, you see what I said. Okay. By the way, we probably are wrong, and to that point. If anyone would like to correct us, we love to hear how wrong we are.
I don't even care if I'm wrong.
No, absolutely
people
not.
People have been
You're
saying assistant captain since the 70s.
Okay, okay. And, by the way,
when I was a young...
When he was a middle-aged man. When, the
if
70s,
I was a middle-aged man there, we would not be...
When he paid off his first house.
Well, let me ask you, Coach, because here's a quick take talking about that subject. My understanding is, and I don't know if this is correct, so someone can correct me out there, or Coach can, but I thought that like if there was a discussion, a dispute, whatever, like only lettered players, the C's and the A's, are allowed in that little circle area to discuss it with the referee. Is that
right? That is the idea. The idea is that's a benefit that they get. Is they're allowed to be the eyes and the voice of the coach and speak on behalf of the coach and receive information and go back and tell the coach. So yeah, that's something.
So let me ask you. So do you think it was wrong then in my son's game last week when he affectionately went over to the linesman and shouted at the top of his lungs, "Where's the effing icing call?" and was subsequently sent right to the penalty box.
That's one of your sons,
Johnny Alexander, I believe.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's never, you're not going to get, the benefit of the doubt there just because you've got a C or an A on your jersey.
Johnny lives to please. And I think he believes that there is a large audience of people out there. I think Johnny actually believes he's mic'd up for every game because I've heard what he says on the ice and it is flipping hilarious. But at the same time, it's not always completely respectful to the authority figures that he might have a short conversation with. That's all I have to say about Johnny Alexander.
Yeah, you just can't drop the F-bomb at the official and call him out on what you think was a mistake, and have a lot of them. I mean, some of them will turn the other cheek, but a lot of them will give you the misconduct.
What would the opposite of turning the other cheek be? Would that be like cheeking somebody? Or, like instead of turning the other cheek, they simply cheek.
Keep the same cheek there.
Yeah. It took the
you
same
refute,
cheek.
Well, it's, it comes from the idea of, I guess, you got hit. It's biblical, right? Or you were hit on one cheek and, the person that's evolved says, go ahead and hit me again. I'll give you the other cheek.
Okay. I gotta tell you, there's gonna be somebody out there that's gonna correct us on that. I can already tell. There's some Bible.
Exactly.
There's gonna be like, oh,
bring it on.
No, you're wrong. Go ahead. youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. Now I am going
really
to
really want
to
invite biblical scholars.
No, biblical scholars are next. I want to get to my topic, and let's get to that topic. This is about, and I've kind of previewed this with some people this week, about the fact that somebody is gonna say something mean to your kid. Now, you're going to be surprised when it happens. If you are a youth hockey parent, It will be strange when this happens, because it's happened to, I'm guessing, all of us, either another kid on the team or a coach or a parent is going to say something mean about your kid. And you have to be ready for it, because it's such an emotional journey you're on with this hockey.
All of the above.
Right. No, by the way, it has happened, but you don't always know that going in, Lance. I remember when there were mites and stuff like that, you look at the sport with such an innocence and such a purity that you like go, oh, this is going to be fun forever. And, you know, people go, but no, people get really, really tense, and somebody is going to say something mean about your kid. It's going to cross the line. It's going to, you know, it's going to make you burn. Perhaps, and I'm going to try to set you up today to be ready for it, because I believe it happens to almost everyone. Just a short answer here. Coach, has that happened to you? Have you had somebody say something mean either to your kid or about your kid that you heard?
Yeah. Oh, well, that I heard directly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
okay.
No, I agree. We've all gone through this.
Yeah, Lance's kids, by the way, are you know, like superstar kids. But have people been mean about them or to them? Like what I'm talking about, either a parent or a coach.
Let's just say, Randy, if I was keeping tabulation, I probably lost count. My 10 key didn't go that high after about the third season.
There we go. Okay.
Every year.
That's right. Every year, somebody decides to badmouth your kid. And you have to decide. And I've got a little chart here, and I'm going to go through it here.
Should I give you my most infamous one?
We'll get there. No, I promise we'll get there. I want to set it up so that people know what I believe should be done, and then we'll talk about the actual things that happened to us, and how, you know, hopefully we all would do it better today. But we're starting with the idea that if this is another kid in the locker room, says something really mean to your kid, you know, what's the next step? In my flow chart, and I'll let you both of you chime in. In my flow chart, it is usually talk to the coach. Now, what if it's the coach's kid? Because that has happened. I know you all think that the coach's kid is going to be the nicest kid on the team. In fact, every once in a while, and I'm not saying it happens often, every once in a while, like 50, 70% of the time, it's him. That's the one that thinks that he is protected to the point where he can say whatever the heck he wants behind everybody's back. Now, that's maybe 50, 70% is a little bit much, but let's say it does happen. So if you have the coach's son, you sometimes have to go to an outside arbiter, which would be the person who runs the club, and just put it in their ear that something is happening that might be bullying, or especially if it happens more than once. What do you think about that? I'm just going to start with the kid, then I'm going to go to the parents, and I'm going to go with, or the coach, and then I'm going to go to the parents. So what do you guys think of that as a starting point, up through bantam? Like, once you get to midget and things like that, I think you have to loosen the reins and let the kids kind of talk for themselves. But what do you think about that?
That's a tough one, man, because I remember at Mites, one of my sons was getting picked on, and it's hard. I think ultimately, because we didn't want to go make trouble, we didn't want to talk to the coaches and talk to parents. So phase one was, we told, because I have twins playing together, we told one twin that you got to back your brother up and stand up for him and make sure that he's not getting picked on and bullied. And didn't turn out the way I'd hoped, because brother B, when brother A was getting bullied, went over and decked the guy who was bullying him. So kind of went a little further than I thought it would.
Well, but you have a different support system, obviously. Coach, what do you think? And you might be right, by the way, this idea of telling on people, you know, maybe we're hovering around the kids too much. Maybe we have to let them get some of those conflicts out of them, like when brother B just decks a guy. But I want to see what you have to say, Coach.
I mean, I wouldn't choose to get in the middle of something like that. you know, and now listen, if I witnessed something that was just outrageously bad, and I've seen some nonsense, you know, in my coaching days, I've seen kids physically assault each other and all sorts of things that occur with little kids. I mean,
didn't someone pee in a bag once? Didn't one kid pee in somebody else's bag?
I mean, I know of that stories.
I heard that story.
Are ridiculous.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So there are some crossing the line. You haven't heard that one? Oh my gosh, maybe I don't know where I got that one. Maybe that's a Valencia thing. Maybe that's somewhere else. I apologize.
I know who it is.
Oh, you do? Okay, that's what I was saying. So somebody did pee in somebody's bag. We're right.
Yeah, there's a couple of incidents I know of that you know, involved really detestable activities by, you know, players against their teammates.
Right, and this is not you supporting urination in another person's bag. Let's be clear here, Coach. I don't want anyone going home or listening on the podcast thinking, "Hey, the coach says go pee on somebody's bag." Correct?
No. In this case, it's, you know, it was a kid who was one of the star players of the team. What his reasons for doing that, I don't know. That this happened when the kid was young.
Yeah, when you start talking about peeing in somebody's bag, I think the causes, they're always going to be clouded, because I don't think it's a logical cause background or stream behind it. Choosing my verbs wrong, but
listen, there's no excuse for any of this type of stuff. I guess what I'm saying is the crazy thing is I'm not even going to go into the details of some of these things. You know, I know of several incidents like this where it was, doing something to some other player's equipment as a way of hazing or pranking them or whatever. Now, we had we were on a team, Randy, that I'm sure you remember, where we had a player who was routinely in the supposed spirit of hockey hijinks, taking people's equipment and like taping them up in the rafters of the locker area and putting them in the trash can, and you know,
not everybody's favorite kid either. Now you think that we dealt with it best by not bringing that up, because we didn't bring that up with the coach. We didn't bring up. So do you think that there is a line that gets crossed where you have to bring it to a higher authority?
I think a lot of it really depends on your kid, and the main that, you know, that's who you're really ultimately concerned about. I mean, do you want to be the parent that went in and raced in? Now, you know, if my kid's bag got, had a teammate, if I was on a team and my kid, his teammate urinated in his bag, I'd be pissed.
good choice of a word there.
It was not intentional, but as soon as I said it, I was like, oh geez. Well, anyway, I'd be angry. So you know, that there's a line there, but I'm just saying there is some friction on a lot of teams. I guess the question also becomes like, who's paying attention, you know, what.
And that is important, by the way. Your monitor has to be a strong person. Whoever's monitoring the kids, I believe, if they let them go Lord of the Flies, that is really bad. Because if you allow kids to say and do whatever they want to each other, and there's no one there, because you usually have a locker room monitor now with Safe Sport, and there's no one there that will strongly push back against that from an authority figure stance, maybe that's an important way to get it done too, is just change the locker room monitor or ask for that change, because that could be a smart way to have no harm, no foul, but nobody, you know, get a drill sergeant in there, find somebody that went to, you know, like, I don't know, went to some, you know, far off country and trained people in, I don't know, something in tactics or something like that, that can come back and get some authority into that dressing room.
Well, it's also easier said than done, because a lot of times, I mean, having people take on this responsibility is it's entirely voluntary. And I've been involved in plenty of teams where I ended up having to do this for about 80% of the year because there was myself and one other person who had actually bothered to get, you know, to have the safe sport and the background check that you need to be able to do it.
Well, luckily you're a high quality individual. Yeah, no, but you're a high quality individual.
No, I mean, I was assistant coach number 3, and then I ended up having to do this all year, and it is annoying, but I think parents have to understand, like, if you're always the person that's like, well, somebody will do it, but it won't be me. Well, then that's how you get in these situations where there isn't necessarily always the type of supervision that you need. And especially at the younger ages, I would say, you know, up to U13, you really need somebody in there because a lot of wacky stuff goes on. Right. These kids are, you know,
it has to be strong and you can't let a kid, you know, just hammer on another kid mentally or with, you know, if some kid feels like he is constantly being harassed, that is not the sport. You know, that's not a teammate either. You aren't teaching yourself. You aren't teaching the kids a good lesson in how to have teammates either. I will say on a separate note, when you have girls, I have had a girl go into a locker room. I think it's almost incumbent upon the father or the mother to be very certain of what is being talked about in those locker rooms, because I've heard stories with one girl being just absolutely, you know, not terrorized. I mean, you know, it's not terrorist activity, but just constant comments from boys in the locker room that are inappropriate and not and putting them down, and the kind of things that you just have to be careful. I have had very good luck with my daughter. The kids that are around her, absolute top notch. I have heard though, and this is like from 2 or 3 other girl players that we've played with, that is not always the case. Now let me move on to what happens if a parent says something mean about your son or really crosses the line. I've thought about this, and I truly think that you have to kind of take it out of the mode of hockey and try to be able to deal with it like it's not something important. I mean, like somebody says, oh, your kid can't do this. He's awful at it. He's just awful. Why doesn't he just, you know, stop playing or something to that effect, which somebody once said about one of my children. He's like, and I'm like, and I was so mad. But I'm trying to like think of it more like if a kid came or a parent came up and said, your kid is terrible at math, would I be as upset? And I'd be like, no, my kid isn't terrible at math. I know my kid. You know, you're just some idiot telling me something about my kid that you obviously haven't figured out. It should not sink in the way insults do in hockey, because I've seen it. I've seen people decide to get really, really angry about somebody saying something about their kid, either to their face or back channeled back to them. And I like to think of it now as it's usually a misunderstanding. Usually the other person just doesn't know what he's talking about, or there might be a kernel of truth in it. Maybe the kid does, you know, maybe the kid needs to get better at math, get him a tutor, see if you can figure out what's wrong and deal with it that way. Thoughts and prayers, guys, anything on that?
Well, my thought is that, even if my kid's the worst player on the team, who are you, parent, to call that out? What business is it?
But it happens. Tell me it doesn't happen.
Oh, it happens all the time, but yeah. It's just like.
No, but I'm with Lance on this. Look, there's an etiquette, and the etiquette, to be a decent person, is that you don't criticize someone else's kid.
Have you seen that etiquette broken though, Raleigh?
Yeah, course.
No, I'm just saying.
Let me get my point out.
I'm sorry, Coach.
If we were less accepting of this across the board, if there was a standard which is like, we have, like, you know, most teams have the standard that if you're mad about what happened in the game, you have a cool down period for 24 hours. You don't go talk to the coach, you know, that until 24 hours have gone. So you've had time to decompress. I think, you know, if I was, let's say, coaching a team next year, I might put in a rule, because we've had contracts. I know you guys have had contracts that you have to sign, player and parent conduct contracts for a lot of teams that say, you will do this, you won't do this. I think it would be good to have a contract to say, you know, you will not engage in, criticism of the teammates of your kid. Just like, if you're that person who's done that, then you were wrong.
Well, some of them don't know, though. You remember the three amigos would sit down near the end, and like every time their kids did something wrong, it was silent. But every time every other kid did, Jesus, why can't that kid pass the puck? Where is he going? And then like their kid would fumble it and wouldn't shoot it, and it'd just be like silence. Right. And then your kid would come down and he'd be like, oh my God, is anybody slower than that kid? I remember the Tweedledee and Tweedle whatever all thumbing their noses at most of the team while every time their own kid and that's what I mean by, you know, like, I rather than get emotional about it, you're just gonna have to deal with it. These aren't people that have a lot of perspective, and so I think you have to just know that you're going to run into them. Have you run into anybody like that, Lance? Have you had I know you have. That's why I was teeing you up. Go ahead.
I was going to say, before I answer that question, the good news for everybody listening out there, at least from my own personal experience, is the older the kids get and the further up the ranks they go, the less of that. It's amazing how backstabby and chirpy and vindictive parents can be at the mite and the squirt level, and then it starts to taper off. You know, I don't remember any of that at bantams and midgets, you know, but I remember just being inundated with it in mites. And like the one story coach that Randy's, I think, probably thinking of is the time I'm sitting on the glass watching the game, and the dad next to me, when my son fumbles the puck behind the net, and goes, "What's he doing? Oh my God, get him out of there! What's he doing?" And then 10 seconds later,
change the lines.
Exactly. And then 10 seconds later, his son makes a stupid pass right into the crease of our own, in front of our own goalie, and they just one time, and it's in net for a goal. And I remember I just turned and stared at the dad, waiting for him to yell at his son, and nothing. Crickets.
Did you take the opportunity to go over, though, and say, "Awesome pass. He should get an assist for that."
I was too much of a gentleman. I never did that. I just glared at him.
It's like, too bad he can't. Too bad the point's got to go for the other team, because that was a beauty. Like,
exactly.
Couldn't have teed that up any better.
That's a pizza, as I recall, Raleigh, from your audio thing.
Yes, it's a pizza. With pepperoni, he just laid it right out there for
exactly.
That's nice. Coach, have you ever had like people kind of raining down their thoughts on your kid that you were just I can't believe it?
I'm sure that they have. Either I have selective hearing, or I just try not to be around that. And I get, everybody gets frustrated, but I've always. Maybe also the other thing is when you have coach kids, I don't know. It seems to me you can't really get yourself aligned or do the job well if you're not trying, you're not hoping for the success of all the kids. And I'm not saying that, you know, there's not bias. Of course you want your kid to do well, and you want your kid to succeed. And, you know, when you're on the ice, you have that, you know, you have more opportunities to talk to them and sort of push them and goose them in the right direction that you think you want them to be going. But in general, you're rooting for all the kids that you're working with to get better. And if you're not looking at it that way, I don't know how good of a, a coaching job you can have. So
that's exactly where I was getting to, which is what happens if the coach is mean to your son. And I think that is I think you're absolutely right. If you find a coach that isn't looking to make everybody on the team better and isn't engaged in everyone's success, and you truly believe that. Now, it's always good to take notes from your coach. You know what I mean? Like if your coach says something constructive, you know, like, oh my gosh, he's really having problems with that. That's not mean necessarily. That's just something he notices. He knows more about hockey than I do. You right. do as well, coach. But if it's really mean or something that goes beyond, and I have heard, now the coach has never said anything like personally mean. I mean, they've said, you know, in the third, what was wrong with you? Blah, blah, blah. I've heard that. I saw my kid getting chewed out once, like he was a piece of chewing gum. But, and of course, you know, my son's reaction to that, right? Right, coach? I told you that one.
Yeah, he,
he loved me.
Water off a duck's exactly. back. Like,
what? No. He wasn't mad at me at all, Dad. He was mad at other kids. He was like, oh my god, these other kids.
I mean, it's. Yeah, but the thing is, love that boy, kid. If you could, I mean, it's so many kids need that. Could use
I know.
That.
I know, but man, the portal to reality, buddy, please just know where it is so you can come back and visit us. That's all I'm asking. If the coach it crosses the line and gets mean and personal, you just have to walk away from the coach. You just have to, there is a point where I think the relationship, what you were saying, coach, is that if he isn't engaged in making your kid better, find somebody who is, and you know, maybe you make a mistake or two along the way, but know that the mistakes you don't want to repeat them every year. So the next time, maybe you do what Lance does and kind of talk to the coach about his philosophy and what he thinks of your kid and whether, you know, so that you feel, instead of trying to get your kid on the best team, get your kid on the team where the coach cares the most about his development. And that's how you get your kid on the best team, because the next year he'll be there. You know, that I truly believe that. So coaches,
I think you're 100% right.
I want to record that, Raleigh, because I don't think I've ever heard that on the podcast. I think we're at podcast 365, and that's the first time I've heard it.
I've said it before, but anyway,
all the time.
I've had my kid play on teams where he had like every one of these circumstances. He's been on the team where he had the coach that really wanted to see him succeed. He's been on the team where the coach was at best ambivalent about him. He's been on the team where I felt like the coach actively does not want my kid to succeed because he's doing things to undermine him at every possible chance he has. And he wants other kids to succeed. So I've seen it all. And I think, you know, if you're a parent, it does show you that you can go through a season that is really bad and painful. And if your kid can get through it and survive it and not lose the love of the sport and no longer have a desire to play, they can, you know, there's another coach out there for you. And I also think you gave great advice, which is the one thing I really regret looking back is that there was a year where my kid played on a team and I knew that the coach was ambivalent at best about him, but I also had seen signs which weren't good. But I went back, had my kid go back for the next year, and then it was really bad that next year. And I should not have gone back, because I knew, like, if I really had thought about it, and I don't know, I I knew that I saw all the signs that this guy just does not think much of my kid. He doesn't think he's a good player. He doesn't value him. And then, you know, I kind of talked myself into it as like, well, this is a team and a lot of kids want to be on it and he's on the team.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know.
And
that
I should have, taken my gut reaction to it and picked up my marbles and taken them to another team. Cause that next season was the worst that we had. It was, you know, certainly the worst. So,
you know, it's so funny too, how I've always amazed talking about like coaches that like your kid, don't like your kid. you know, we were part of a team. There were three actively involved coaches. You know, there was the head coach and the two assistant coaches, right? And the head coach always played like we were, I think at the time because of injuries, and we were short a forward. So the coach always had his approach to the game and who he gave primarily the extra time to. And then when assistant coach A would coach the team because the head coach was not there for some reason, he played he approached a completely different, favored a completely different guy than the head coach. And then assistant coach B was completely different than the other two guys. And I was like, you know, it's weird that these guys are so close. They've known each other for forever, and yet they approach the game completely different, you know? And it's just like, I guess they said that's why they have horse, you know, different people like different things, you know?
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah, the exact same thing happened on a team that we were on, where the head coach had one opinion.
Head coach liked your kid. I remember that.
Yeah, head coach
liked your kid.
But then he started having to miss a lot of stuff. And the assistant coach, who the head coach had brought on and said, you know, this is my guy, was teaching a whole different system and would rearrange the lines every time he was in control of the team. And usually those rearrangements involved some kind of demotion for my kid.
Yeah, and, no, crapping on your kid. I mean, when you see that start, it's awful.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to say that year, see that when I think about that year, though, that's really for me more of the in the middle, because I felt like that year the assistant coach, it wasn't that he didn't like my kid. He had other kids that he was favoring.
Right. Was no, clear. I gotcha. Yeah.
And
no,
he just wanted to give them all these opportunities because right. He had some kind of investment in them that he did not have in my kid.
Right.
And so,
it's not always mean, by the way. And we're talking about like people saying mean things about a kid. I agree. It's not always meanness. Sometimes it's just, you know, disinterest in your kid, you know, like anybody else. You have your favorites and you have people that you just kind of skim, and you have people that you actively don't like.
But at the end of the day, I mean, it's not good for your kids' morale. You know,
no.
They don't. They're playing on one line with other people, and they're having good success. And then the other coach comes on, and he's like, "No, you're now on this other line. This other kid that doesn't have the points that you have is now going to take your spot, and you're going to move down."
And Connor always found the back of the net too. I always liked that kid.
The kid, you know, the kids, they're, you know, they're the ones that really, you know, if you get past your ego in terms of the whole thing, they're the ones that are experiencing this. Like they, you know, you're paying the money for them to play the sport. They're the ones that have to go through the, you know, the kick to the gut that it comes with the, you know, hey, this guy doesn't like me. I'm getting demoted and I'm not getting the chances I was getting before. I don't know why. You know, I'm still the same guy. So, you know, I'm doing the best I can out here. It can really be the type of thing that undercuts a kid's confidence. And that's why I really like what you said before, which is you can't gain any confidence when your confidence is constantly being taken away from you.
Yeah.
When you're being benched, when you're not getting played, when you're getting demoted, there's nothing. How do you play well? You can't overcome that. And if that's going to be systemic and you're just going to end up at the end of the bench, you got to find another team. You got to find somebody else that, you know, hopefully sees something that these other coaches don't see, or in a place where there's more opportunity for your kid.
Well, I have a funny story regarding that.
I want to cap this off because we're getting close to the end. Okay.
All right. I would do it really quick. So on that, and the particular team I was just talking about, so the head coach liked one particular guy. And so that guy got the extra shifts when the coach coached the team. His assistant coach liked a completely different guy. And that guy got the extra shifts whenever he was in charge of the team and the head coach couldn't make it. And then the second assistant coach loved my kid, and my kid got the extra time when he was in charge of coaching the team. And you'll laugh, but there, I remember distinctly days when I walked in and here comes assistant coach B walking behind the bench, and I turn to my wife and go, yes, yes.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't. There was some poisoning of some of the upper coaches in that team, as I recall, too. Like they'd get mysterious stomach aches night before.
It was only a brief time that they were hospitalized. It was
a little Visine in their drinking water, I believe.
But here's my braggy that I like to do was that the guy who liked my kid, 15 years in the NHL. The other two guys never played in the NHL.
Well, you're awfully cool, Lance. Lance, wrap this up, but I do want to tease my new segment, which is going to start next time because we talk too much. It's called You Can't Say That. You can't say that. Things that really need to be said, but nobody thinks they can say it. Next time I'm going to start it. Yeah, that's right. But they need to be said. You can't say it, but on the next episode, I'm going to come out with my first You Can't Say That segment at the end.
Oh, I can't wait.
People will be on the edge of their iPhone, I guess.
At the very edge of their volume control.
They'll be twisting the
So Lance, wrap us up. You're the one.
Okay, well, here's the wrap up. How do you wrap up perfection? I don't know. Episode 16 came through like a Marcel Dion hat trick. And anyone want to reach out to us? Like we've said before, we love emails. We love comments, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. And what's a youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. And we look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.